We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider for another week. A week out from the season opener as the Buffs on Friday, August 31st, will take on Colorado State. Of course, the Rams have got a home game with Hawaii tomorrow on Saturday up in Fort Collins. Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. As this is coming out on Friday afternoon at Balch Fieldhouse earlier in the day, it was a great kickoff lunch in the Boulder Chamber. CU football kickoff lunch, always a great event. And Neil, I guess as you'd expect, 7 days out, a spirited event, and I thought Mike McIntyre looked as intense and ready to go as you can possibly be.
I tell you what, Mike McIntyre, you could see he's invested in this team in a big way, and I thought he was, like you said, very intense, very engaged, very excited about this team, and I think he loves this team because of the chemistry, the togetherness, and he keeps on talking about ownership. But I think this team has really bought into all those kind of things, and I'm excited to see him play.
You and I have been doing this for so long. I'm always fascinated by the personality that develops on a team. I know Coach Barnett has said about that 2016 team, he said he didn't need to lead them, just to tell them what time the bus leaves, and they were going to be on it. Last year, you know, that team kind of searched for itself all season long. This one here I think would be a fun team to coach. They seem engaged. And I think it's safe to say, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, I'm not sure that I recall talking to Mike or any assistant coach at any point through this camp where they came out and said, we didn't have a very good practice today.
That's, you know, I kept on waiting for that day, and you and I are there every day at practice. And so even on those days every once in a while when Mike McIntyre in years past would chew on his team, he wouldn't come out afterward and tell the media they had a bad practice, but you and I both knew they did. We didn't see any of those this year. I mean, every practice was a good – some were better than others, but every practice was a good practice. I never saw Mike or any of the assistants have to just, you know, blow the whistle, stop, you know, and light into them. That was an engaged team from beginning to, you know, right up to today. And I think that's a great sign for this team. It's like you said, they're looking for somebody to lead them through this season.
And then the leadership thing, I think, is an interesting part of this team because, as you and I have talked about, a couple of years ago at Cepho, you had Philip. I don't know who the leader of this team is in 2018. Maybe that develops individually as the season goes on, but it really is a collective mindset, I think, we're watching, not so much one or two guys that are kind of carrying the water.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think you said leadership by committee earlier in camp, and I think that's what this bunch is going to be. And when we'll know about this team when they hit some adversity. And I think, you know, 2 years ago we talked about that 2016 team, that team that came home from Michigan after losing Derek McCartney, after losing Sefo Lufau to an injury, after losing their starting kicker Diego Gonzalez to an injury, all in that game, they came home and the leaders took over on that team. You know, Sefo hobbled out there with his bad leg and made sure that they were ready to go on that following Monday. You know, Cheetah Bayawuzie, Tedrick Thompson, all those guys, Kenneth Olabode, you know, they all took over. And I think that's what I'm anxious to see. And it might be the first game. It might not be till week two at Nebraska. Maybe it's not till the fourth game against UCLA. But when this team hits a tough moment, when they hit some adversity, I want to see who responds, and we'll know where the leadership's coming from then.
I really thought at the luncheon today at Balch Field High, so you get the sense that this group's ready to play right now. I mean, they've got a week, and they'll take care of ironing out a wrinkle here and a wrinkle there, but I think they've had a very good camp, as we talk about. I think there's been good intensity up to this point. I think, and it's cliche to say, because we always say it every year with every team at camp, this one, we're being honest when we say it this time, right? I mean, this team's ready to play right now.
This team wants to hit somebody else. You know, I mean, and I think you and I saw it a couple days ago at practice when they were doing 11 on 11, you know, full contact, one versus one, defense versus offense. And all of a sudden, the offense and defense started chirping at each other. And they were kind of, you know, and it was getting not angry, but they were chirping at each other. Hey, you're not going to score on us. Oh, yeah, we are. Watch this. And it went back and forth for most of that practice. And I think that was a sign that I wanted to see. Yeah, I think if you told these guys, hey, they moved the schedule up, guess what, you're playing tomorrow, they'd be just more than happy to go out and do it.
Does this team have, what's the word I'm looking for, the swagger, the nasty, the, you know, whatever that intangible is where we've seen from good teams? We certainly saw that in particular from that defense 2 years ago led by Cheeto and the guys you're talking about there. Does this team have a little bit of that, or is it too early for us to tell?
You know, that's an interesting question, because I was talking to somebody about that this morning. You know who has the swagger on this team is the young guys. It's the Nate Landmans. It's the KD Nixons. It's the LaVisca Chenaults. It's the Colby Purcell, who, very quiet kid, but there's a quiet swagger there. It's really interesting. I think the older guys are very confident. Evan Worthington, Drew Lewis, Rick Gamboa, Aaron Hagler, you know, those guys are all confident players. They don't have that same kind of swagger that I think some of those younger guys do. And I mean, you see it. What do you see from those young guys?
Well, here's a telltale sign for me. On Wednesday night, and we do this every year, they bring the entire freshman class, not of the football team, but the university, and they have a little orientation. And from an athletic department standpoint, we go through, here's this tradition, and here's that chant, and Chip's out there, and the spirit squad, and the band, and the football team eventually comes out, and there are various coaches, and they eventually run Ralphie. Many years when the football team comes out, having done this for a number of years now, the guys will run up behind Ralphie, and there's a little bit of hoopla, and then things kind of settle down. Wednesday night when we did that, led by LaVisca Chenault, led by KD Nixon, and guys like that, I was wrapping up on the microphone. I got the camera on me, and I'm talking to the kids, and the football team kind of just avalanched down on top of me and was really hooping and hollering, and it said something. And there was a few folks around that have been around the department for a number of years who said to me afterward, that team's got an energy we haven't seen for a while. I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think the young guys, and I think the older guys are perfectly fine buying into it. You know, sometimes older guys will say, no, this is our team. We get to lead the attitude. But I see Juwan Winfrey, you know, getting excited when KD Nixon gets excited. I see Rick Gamboa. I see him getting excited when Nate Landman's getting excited out there on the field. And I think that energy and that enthusiasm has kind of spread throughout the team. And I think that's a good thing. I'm looking forward to see it come to fruition.
Who's the guy, and maybe you just mentioned one or two of them right there, who's the guy that you watch? You know, we know who the veterans are. Guys like Evan Worthington are supremely talented and probably is going to get a very decent shot to play in the NFL. Who's the guy that you just say, that guy I can't wait to watch?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about this before, but it's a guy that's caught my eye in the two scrimmages. It's the guy that I watch on defense a lot, and I love watching a great linebacker play. I think it's because Colorado's had, you know, a great history of great linebackers through the years, but really excited about seeing Nate Landman get out there and see what he does when the lights go on. We saw a little bit of it at the end of last year. You know, the last two games he played extremely well, and I think he's a guy that is going to just be somebody that CU fans really enjoy watching, and I think he's going to be a defensive leader here for the next 3 years.
You know, mine might be just because I'm actually the conversations I've had with KD Nixon makes me a bigger fan with him every time. And you know this, you and I will be standing out there barely paying attention half the time, and one of them will come flying by us. Every once in a while, the guys have got a comment or two for us. KD's always got a comment. He's always got a running commentary going, and it's something about something you wrote or something I said or this or that or whatever it is. And on top of that, he's a fantastic player. I still can't believe that one high school team had he and Laviska Shenault on him at the same time. That's a whole lot of talent right there. Laviska's going to be a star, but KD's a guy that I'm really excited to watch.
Oh, I KD Nixon is going to be the guy that makes some plays real quickly for the University of Colorado. Everybody, when people who are going to be playing Colorado, they're going to know about Laviska Shenault. If you watched Colorado last year and you see that they have a 6'2", 225-pound wide receiver coming back, you're going to be covering him. KD is a guy that I think is going to be flying under the radar for a little bit. He can do a ton of things, and I agree. I'm really excited about seeing KD on offense.
Earlier today at the luncheon, Mike McIntyre, he was up on stage with Gary Marinette and me, and then he kind of had a message, and he brought, and I thought it was interesting, he brought the offensive line and defensive line up first and made a statement about who those guys were and are and what to expect from them. And I was sitting there watching this. I know he loves those guys. I know he's got confidence. And I was thinking to myself, because coaches, you got to have a little Dr. Phil in you to be a great coach, right? You got to play the psychological games. And I was thinking, is that more for the audience or is that more for those guys to hear their coach say that publicly?
I was sitting there thinking the same thing. I think, you know, what Mike McIntyre wanted to do was tell the whole world that he believes in those guys, and he wanted those guys to know that. He wanted those guys to know that that's where it starts. And Colorado's supposed to have great receivers this year. Everybody's excited about their offense. They're always supposed to have great defensive backs. Everybody's excited about Evan Worthington and, you know, an NFL guy. But the guys that he brought up there first, the guys that he said, I believe in these guys, it was his offense and defensive line. And, yes, he was sending them a message, hey, I believe in you. I've got your back. And I think that was a big thing. It reminded me of 2 years ago when he stood up there and made a statement about the CSU game that reverberated all along the front range for a while. And guess what? They did exactly what he said they were going to do.
Yeah. The Rams play tomorrow. They've got Hawaii, 5:30, up at their new stadium there at Fort Collins. You know all the eyes in that coaching staff and that roster are going to be watching that tomorrow. Thought or two, are you hearing anything from up north?
Well, I think you know, CSU's, you know, Mike Bobo came back to practice this week, was hospitalized for about 8 or 10 days. It's a very young team. They've got, five new starters on the offensive line. They got a new a freshman starter at corner. The other guy is a transfer out there. A lot of new faces in a lot of new places. They got a new starting quarterback, a transfer from the University of Washington. I think it's a great opportunity for CSU to go out and get a lot of the kinks out because it's such a new team in a lot of places. I think it'll be fun to watch and see what they do. Mike Bobo loves to throw the ball. I don't think A.J. Carter-Samuels is a guy that is as much of a thrower as he is maybe more of a runner. And so I think you might see a little bit more of that. Obviously, Colorado's going to be watching it closely. I know CU people are worried that it gives CSU a big advantage. I have another opinion on that topic.
Well, I think it allows them, and I said this on a show I was on a few days ago, it allows them to knock the rust off. It allows them to get some of the butterflies out, jumping on the field for the first time. But from Colorado's perspective, they got a new defensive coordinator up there. It also gives the Buffs a chance to see what they're all about up there and what the things. Now, they might not show all of it. Depending on what kind of game Hawaii gives the Rams, they may not show their full hand. If that becomes a competitive ball game, then I think you probably see more. And from CSU's perspective, you may be thinking, very subconsciously, uh-oh, maybe we're not as good as we think we are.
Yeah, I think that it's funny. I talked to Gary Barnett about that earlier this year. Do you ever hold stuff back in anticipation of playing that second game? And he said no. He said you do everything you have to do to win that first game. You worry about game two when it comes to the second week of the season. He said you do everything you do to win the first game, or he said you end up losing two of them.
Those dang coaches at one game at a time thing. Come on.
So I certainly think CSU will do everything they can to win that game. I can't see them holding anything back. I think they're going to work on everything they can. I will say this. I think Colorado has to get to a point, and this is going to make CSU people mad. I think Colorado has to get to that point where they expect to win that game. Colorado is a Power 5 conference team playing in the Pac-12, and I think they have to get to that point where they say, yeah, go ahead and play that first game. Best of luck to you, but Colorado should go into that. Colorado has to get to the point where that this program believes that they should win that game.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that, and that's what this program has been in the past, where when you do step down and play a lower – and that's not a level of disrespect or anything for anybody in the Mountain West, especially Colorado State. But when you're a Power 5 team and you play in the Pac-12 and you do step down to play somebody, the goal is to have a program that where the mindset is, well, we're stepping out of our league. We win those games. And then we look forward to Washington, USC, UCLA, whomever it might be. And so that's just, I think, that's part and parcel where this program has been and is striving to get back to it. I think that's there's nothing disrespectful about that. It's just kind of the fact of what college football is. Hey, this series was coming to an end, and we know that there's a game next year in Denver between the Buffs and the Rams, and then the year after that, 2020, the Buffs and Rams will play for the first time for Collins in a long time. I mean, certainly not during my 15 years here. But we got news. News has gotten out that there is a renewal. Now, there will be a little bit of a breath in between 20 and 23, I guess, is when it starts. But we've got a home-and-home coming up with the Rams. I think that's good overall, and I think everyone, you know, the college football fans will still be happy about that.
Yeah, to me, I like that. I like the fact – I like playing CU-CSU series. I don't think it has to be every year. I think there's actually more anticipation if you have a couple years off. And I guarantee you that they'll play in 2020 up in Fort Collins. They'll have 21 and 22 off. When they renew the series in 23 down here in Boulder, people are going to be really excited about it again. And so I see nothing wrong with that. I kind of like that, having a couple years off and then playing a couple years, because I think it keeps the interest high.
Where do you fall in the whole play in Denver, play on the campus argument? You know, I'm trying to think now. I think there when I got here in 2004, we played 04 and 05, I want to say, in Boulder, if I'm not mistaken. We certainly have played two of them here. The bulk of them have been in Denver. Looking forward to the game at Fort Collins in 2020. Where do you fall in the argument?
College football belongs on a college campus. Period. That's all I got to say about it. You know, and I know they play games at Jerry World, and I know they play games on neutral fields, and I know they play games all kinds of places. College football belongs on a college football campus. And if I had my way, it would be at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Okay, you just became Joe Paterno with that line.
That's fine. I love campus. I love the campus atmosphere. And Saturday afternoons are when college football should be played. I understand the money part of it. I understand TV. But, college football belongs on a college campus.
I'm with you. There is something special every once in a while. Others talk about maybe playing somebody else in Denver at Mile High Stadium at some point in time. But I'm the same way. It's a novelty that I don't think needs to be overdone, if you will. So enjoy it. That's one thing, like you said, that makes it. I've always preferred calling college football over NFL football because of the pageantry, the emotion, the connection that somebody has intrinsically to the institution. So I've always kind of enjoyed that as well. Hey, a couple of quick things before we wrap up on Buffs Insider this week. Volleyball team getting underway this weekend, top 15 team. The soccer team's got a couple of old Big 12 foes in Missouri and Iowa State coming to town at Prentice Field this weekend. So two programs that are expecting great seasons, both getting underway here this weekend.
Yeah, and again, two programs, like you said, top 25 programs. Those are programs that no longer consider the NCAA tournament, you know, an accomplishment. That's expected for Danny Sanchez's soccer team, for Jesse Mahoney's volleyball team. It's an expectation to get to the NCAA tournament. You know, now they want to go deep in the tournament. I think both those programs have gotten to that point where they're good enough to do that this year.
Yep. Looking forward to a great season for both Jesse Mahoney in volleyball and Danny Sanchez in soccer. That's Neil Welk. Next week, we'll be talking about a game, and neither one of us can wait after three, almost 4 weeks of training camp for the Buffaloes. As we wrap up the Buffs Insider this week, I'm Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. 1 week to the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Thanks for joining us this week on The Insider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.